I'm going to be preaching today from John chapter 4. I'd like for you to get your Bibles, and I'll be going verse by verse in this message and covering several verses from the Gospel of John chapter 4. I'd like very much for you to get your Bibles and follow along with me. Most of you are familiar with this scripture that I'm preaching from today. You've heard of the Samaritan woman, or most people call this portion of Scripture the woman at the well. And you're familiar with it. You've heard many messages on this subject, the woman at the well, or John chapter 4. But I believe if you're led of God to listen to this message today, that you'll see some things that you have not seen before. Now, our Lord was walking from Judea to Galilee. And it says in verse 4, look down at verse 4, John chapter 4, verse 4. It says in verse 4, and he must needs go through Samaria. He's going from Judea to Galilee. And it said he must go through Samaria. Now, to go from Judea to Galilee, the most direct route, you would go through Samaria. But, however, most of these strict Orthodox Jews would not go through Samaria. They would take the longer route around Samaria. If they were going from Judea to Galilee, they'd take the long route because the Jews and the Samaritans had no dealings with one another. But it says here that our Lord must go through Samaria. And I'll tell you why he must go through Samaria. Our Lord must go through Samaria because he has some sheep there. We know of one, the woman at the well, and then there were others, it said, who believed on him in Samaria. And our Lord must needs go through Samaria. It's just like he said to the disciples, the Son of Man must be lifted up. If I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men to me, and I must be lifted up. And our Lord has sheep in Samaria, and he must go through there. He said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, I must bring them. The Son of God must bring his sheep to himself. There was an old pastor down in Texas named Dr. Gambrill. I don't remember his first name. But he'd been pastor at this certain church for a long, long time and living in the same house. And he had a flower garden. He raised roses. And one day he was out working in his flower garden, and a neighbor lady came over. And she'd known him for years. She never attended his church. She went to church somewhere else. But they were friends and neighbors. And she came over while he was working out in his flower garden one day, and she said, Dr. Gamble, she said, do you believe in election? Do you believe the Bible teaches election, that God elected a people to salvation? Oh, he said, I certainly do. He said, would you explain it to me? Well, he said, sister, he said, are you saved? Well, she said, I am. I'm a believer. He said, who saved you? Why, she said, God saved me. He said, well, God saved you. Did he do it by accident or was it on purpose? Oh, she said, I'm sure he saved me on purpose. It was no accident. He said, that, my dear lady, is election. Everything God does, he does on purpose. And when this scripture says our Lord must need go through Samaria, it's for a purpose. It's to fulfill his purpose and his will and find his sheep. It's like Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Everything God does, he does on purpose. He said in Isaiah, have I not purposed it? And shall I not bring it to pass? Have I not spoken? And shall I not do it? He must needs go through Samaria. Now look at verse 5. It says, then cometh the Lord Jesus to a city of Samaria called Sychar. And Jacob's well was there. Now I'm going to pause here for a moment. You see, Jacob, many, many years ago, Jacob gave this land to Joseph many years ago. And Jacob's well was there. And this well had served these people in the area of Samaria for many, many centuries. But here's the thing I want you to notice. He came to Samaria, to a city called Sychar, and Jacob's well was there. But it says in that next verse, look at it, verse 6. Note this now. Jesus, being weary with his journey, sat down on the well. The Lord Jesus Christ, being weary, tired with the long journey, sat down on the well, and it was noon. Jesus weary? Isn't Jesus God? Yes, he is. Isn't Jesus the only begotten Son of God? Yes. Almighty, all-powerful, eternal, deity, God Almighty? Yes. And Jesus weary? Jesus thirsty? Jesus sitting down to rest? Jesus hungry? He sent his disciples into town to buy some food. Didn't he just feed 5,000 people with only five loaves and two fishes? Now, you learn some truth here. Jesus Christ was weary, actually weary, tired, hungry, thirsty. When this woman came to the well, he asked for a drink of water. He made the seas and the lakes and the streams, and he makes it to rain. And here he is sitting. Here's this man, Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, all things were made by Him, without Him was not anything made that was made. And here He is sitting, weary, tired, hungry, thirsty, on a well. What this Scripture is showing us emphatically, that Jesus Christ is a man. He's the God-man, as much God as if He had never become a man, as much man as if He had never been God. Tempted in all points as we are, tested, tried, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, by His unlimited power, fed multitudes, healed sick people, gave sight to the blind, even raised the dead. But He never performed one miracle, not a single one, to relieve His own pain, His own distress, His own suffering, His own thirst, His own hunger. Satan said to Him, when He fasted 40 days one time, said, make these stones into bread. You're hungry. Make them into bread. He couldn't. And be my substitute, and be my Savior, and be my representative and yours. Because He had to be a man, limited by the flesh. That's right. Jesus Christ was a man, and He sat down on the well, tired and weary. Weary with the journey. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. In every respect and in all ways, He was a man. The man, Christ Jesus. All right, look at verse 7. Then cometh a woman of Samaria, to draw water. And when this woman came, now it's noon, it's high noon. And when this woman came to the well, the Lord Jesus Christ said to her, woman, give me a drink. Give me a drink. Now, this woman came to the well at noon to draw water. And I'll tell you why she came at noon. You see, most women came to the well in the morning, early morning. They got water for washing, for cooking, for cleaning their clothes, bathing. They got it early in the morning before the heat of the day. But here the sun is at its peak, and there's no one there. This is a common gathering place. This is a place where people have been coming for water for centuries. And there's no one there, not at high noon. Christ is there, sitting on that well. But this woman was a woman of poor reputation. She'd been married 5 times. She was living at that time with a man who was not her husband. Everybody in town knew her. And they knew about her life, her past, and her present life. And she was embarrassed. Just embarrassed to come to the well when the other women came. They would shun her, talk about her. So she came when she was alone. And the Master was there waiting for her. Because my Lord delights to show mercy. Our Lord is merciful to sinners. David wrote, O Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquity, who would stand? But there's forgiveness with thee. And here our Lord came to the well and sat down waiting on this woman, waiting because she's one of his sheep. He came there to meet her and to reveal himself to her. This is so interesting. You're familiar with John 4, the woman at the well. You're familiar with John chapter 3, aren't you? Nicodemus. Look at the difference. In John chapter 3, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. They named him. Famous man. Here in John 4 is a woman. Nobody ever knows her name. In John chapter 3, here comes a man to the Lord Jesus, a man of great position and wealth and power. He was a man of the Pharisees, the highest office among the Jewish preachers, theologians. Here in John 4 is a poor, sinful woman, married five times. In John 3, a favored Jew. In John 4, Samaritan. In John 3, a man of strict morals, integrity, lawkeeper. In John 4, openly rebellious young woman. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus sought Christ. He sought him for whatever reason, I don't know, but he wanted to discuss theology with him. This woman didn't seek Christ. He sought her. In John chapter 3, Christ gave Nicodemus an impossible task. He said, you must be born again. You must be born again. That's impossible with men. Possible with God, but not with me. In John 4, he gave this woman something she could do. He said, you give me a drink. And he said to her later, if you knew who was talking to you, you'd ask of me and I'd give you living water. But she was shocked. Look at verse 9. And the woman was shocked when this Jewish man asked her, a Samaritan, for a drink of water. And she said to him, she said, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, a Samaritan? Don't you know that the Samaritans and Jews have nothing to do with one another? So how is it now that you've asked me for a drink of water? Oh, I tell you, the humility and condescension of our Lord. He came down. I tell you, the greatest distance between any two points is the distance between deity and humanity. Christ became a man. Our Lord was identified us. He came low. Yes, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Took upon himself the form or habit of a servant, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Oh, the humility. Our Lord's the friend of sinners. He came down. He identified with us. And sitting on this well, here at high noon, he's talking to a great sinner, a needy sinner. And he says, give me a drink. Give me a drink. Give me a drink. She said, well, don't you know the Jews have nothing to do with the Samaritans? Now look at verse 10. And he answered her and he said, woman, if you knew the gift of God. Now she had said, don't you know? Don't you know? He said, if you knew. Don't you know the Jews have nothing to do with us Samaritans? He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's talking to you, you'd ask me. And I'd give you living water. Can't you just picture this scene? And this is reenacted all the time. Here stands a woman. I mean a needy creature, a sinful creature, a rebellious creature. In flesh, in sin, in need, in infirmity, in weakness. And sitting right looking at her is the Lord of glory. The Lord of glory, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who has all power. In him is life, in him is light, in him is holiness, in him is truth, in him is salvation, in him is redemption, in him is everlasting life. And this woman brings up the most foolish, simple, childish thing in the world. Don't you know that the Jews don't have anything to do with the Samaritans? What childish talk. What foolishness. Here's the Son of God. And he says to her, if you knew the gift of God, what is the gift of God? It's eternal life. It's eternal life. That's the gift of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, eternal life. And if you knew the gift of God, which is eternal life, if you just knew who was talking to you, who is he? He was in the world and the world didn't know him. He came to his own and his own received him not. You would ask of me, and I'd give you living water. People are sidetracked on all of the unimportant issues about divisions and denominations and arguments and splits and all of these things, strife and envy. And here is the Lord of glory. Here's the Word of God. Here's the truth of God. Here's the salvation of sinners. Here's the sacrifice of the Son of God. Here's the righteousness worked out by the perfect Son of God. Here's the truth. And yet they get on all these other issues. Don't you know that you're not supposed to have anything to do with us and we're not supposed to have anything to do with you? He said, if you knew, if you could just consider and think the gift of God and who's talking to you, you'd ask. You have not because you ask not. He said you ask that you might consume it on your lust. But you ask and it'll be given. You seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened. Ask me and I'll give you life. You know why eternal life is compared to water frequently in the Scripture? Christ said, I'm the living water. If any man thirst, let him come to me. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You know why water is a figure of salvation? I'll tell you why. Four reasons. First, water is the gift of God. Water is the gift of God. Secondly, water comes from above. Even the water table depends on the rain from above. All water comes from above. Thirdly, water is the need of all people. Everybody needs water. And fourthly, water is absolutely necessary. There's death without it. That's why Christ is the water. And he says to this woman, water is the gift of God. Water is from above. Water is the need of everybody, especially you. And without it, you'll die. Now, if you knew the gift of God, you'd ask me, and I'd give you living water, life from above, eternal life, salvation. Now, listen to her. She still doesn't understand, and most people don't. Listen to her. The woman said, you don't have anything to draw with. The well is deep. Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and who drank from it himself and all of his children? Oh, how blind we are. We're blind like she is. Christ is speaking of spiritual water, spiritual forgiveness, spiritual life. And she's bound to this earth and still talking about all of these physical material things. That precious scripture over in Isaiah 53, where it says, our Lord, by his stripes we're healed. He bore our sicknesses and our diseases. And everybody wants to talk about sicknesses of this natural body and diseases of this natural body. And they want God to heal this natural body. But this body's going to die. Someday it's going to die. No matter how many times you're healed, it's appointed unto me and wants to die. But the scripture here in Isaiah 53 is talking about spiritual sickness and spiritual diseases and spiritual leprosy and spiritual need. That's what Christ is talking to this woman about. If you knew the gift of God, and it's not to repair this old natural body, it's to save our souls. It's not to put away our cancer, it's to put away our sin. It's not to make us live always in this vale of tears and valley of shadows, it's to make us live always in glory. And he said, if you knew the gift of God, you'd ask me and I'd give you living water. She said, you don't have anything to draw with. And the well is deep. Listen to Christ in verse 13. Woman, whosoever drinks of the water of this well shall thirst again. You can drink this water every day. And tomorrow you've got to have another drink. Next day another drink. You've got to keep coming back to this well. And you can write those words above every well of this world. Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. This water will thirst again because it can never satisfy thirst. It can never give satisfaction. And you can put this over the political wells and the social wells and the material wells and the religious wells. You never find any peace or rest or satisfaction in this world. It can't give it. The world cannot give peace and rest and joy and satisfaction. And that's what he's saying to her. He says, woman, whoso drinks of this water is going to keep thirsting. But if any man drink of the water that I shall give him, this spiritual life, holy life, salvation, redemption, the nature of God, he'll never thirst again. Never. Oh, I tell you, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but that water shall be in him a well of living water springing up unto everlasting life. What is this water? It's the water I give him. I give him. It's spiritual life. It's the life of Christ. It's the water that I shall give him. It's the Spirit of God. It's the life of God. In the soul, it's salvation. It's a new heart, new nature. He'll never thirst again. He'll always have peace and joy and rest and comfort in Christ Jesus and hope. And this well, this water, this spiritual life will be in him. He won't have to go somewhere to get it renewed and refreshed. It's in him. And it's springing up. Springing up. Are some of you old enough to remember the old spring houses that we had years ago, back before people had refrigerators and before they had deep freezes and all these things? We used to have, most folks in the country had a spring. Water came out of the hillside. And you'd build a spring house over the where the spring came out of the hillside, so the animals couldn't get to it. And they kept their milk in the spring, and they kept their watermelons, and they kept all things in the spring house, keep them cool. That's where they got their water. And that spring always flowed, just always flowed, never run dry, just kept on flowing. And that's what Christ is saying. If you ask of me, I'll give you living water, springing up within you, and you'll never thirst again. Well, the woman said, listen, give me this water, that I come no more to this well and draw water. She's tired. She wants Christ to keep her from having to work anymore and draw water and come to the well. She said, give me this water. She still doesn't understand. Still doesn't understand that he's talking about spiritual life, spiritual thirst. I heard a preacher the other day said, God wants you to be wealthy and God wants you to be healthy. In this world, lay not up for yourselves treasures on this earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. Yes, wealthy riches in Christ, inheritance reserved for you, not here, there. And help in your heart and soul, not necessarily your body. And he's got to get her attention now. And he's got to get her mind on her real problem. Her real problem, her real need, her loneliness, her separation from God. So he says to her, look at verse 16, go call your husband. Go call your husband. Just like that. Right out of the clear blue. He knew where her heartache was. He knew why she was here alone. He knew why she wasn't here with the other women. He knew her sin, her shame, her life. He knew all of these things. He knew her. That's why he crossed her path, and that's why he came to meet her, and that's why he came here to reveal himself to her. But she's got to learn it. She's got to face it. And she looked at him and said, I don't have a husband. And he said, you well said you have no husband. You've had five, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. See, her problem wasn't physical thirst and physical hunger and physical poverty and physical disease. Her problem was sin. Your sins have separated you and God. The wages of sin is death. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Christ is bringing her face to face with her real problem. Sin. 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 And she looked at him and said, well, I perceive you're a prophet. And then she turned to her religion. She said, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. You Jews say you're supposed to worship in Jerusalem. Our Lord said to a woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain worship God nor in Jerusalem. You worship you know not what. But God is a spirit. And they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and truth. So she shut up. She shut up to one thing. And that's when she said in verse 25, look at it. She said, well, the Messiah's coming. I've read about the Messiah. I've heard about the Messiah. That God's going to send a Messiah. God's going to send a Christ. God's going to send a Redeemer. And He's coming. And when He comes, He'll straighten out all these problems. He'll show us all things. And our Lord said, woman, I'm He. I'm the Messiah. And I'll tell you, Scripture says she believed. She dropped her water pot. She ran down to the village. She said, come see a man that told me everything I've ever done. Is not this the Christ? Is not this the Messiah? And all the village came out, and they heard Him preach. And many believed. And some of them said to the woman, we believe, not because of what you said, but we've heard Him ourselves. We've heard Him ourselves. Ah, He must needs go through Samaria. Because there's a woman there. Belongs to Him. And He had to bring her through all of this to get her to face her sins, her real need. Not physical water, spiritual water. Not worldly rest, spiritual rest. Not worldly peace, peace with God. And that's found in the Messiah. When the Messiah comes, He'll tell us. Christ Jesus said, I'm here.